following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 12:39 a.m., May 1st, 2018. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
Resist!
People want me to make fun of Sean Hannity tonight, but I cannot do that. This dinner's for journalists.
Hi. Thank you for checking in with this episode of K-Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, as always, Kelly. If you are a regular listener of this show, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you may have noticed that I didn't have two episodes last week. Neither did I the week before. And I won't this week either. I won't for some time. I had to face the music, and I've simply taken on too much between the campaign and everything else. And I thought of drastically changing my show into something different, something that didn't require as much time. As it is, I write a 9-page essay, the summary of the news that I do as I research it, and that takes a good chunk out of my day. And then I record, which goes fast, but then I spend like the whole night editing. And then I make the picture for the podcast, I scribble out a synopsis, and then I'm ready to post, which takes a bit more time. And I'm in no way complaining. I love every minute of it. It's why this decision totally bums me out. But priorities right now. I know it's not forever either, so... So yes, I could change the show into something that doesn't take as much time. And I still may do that, but I don't know. It just wouldn't be the same. We'll see. I'm playing things by ear. And thankfully, Pat and Ryan, the two guys who host the Crab Diving podcast...
Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your minds?
My name's Patrick Vile. My name's Ryan Pfeiffer.
Download, listen, and love them. And they also run the Crab Diving Network, which is the network that hosts my show. Are very flexible and awesome. But I'm not kidding. Go check out the Crab Diving Podcast. It streams for 2 hours a day live, 5 days a week from 2 to 4 Pacific at crabdiving.com. They run down the news you're hearing and not hearing, laughing and raging at right-wing America the whole time. They're funny. For me, it's always been a good way to filter the news, so I get, I don't know, a little less angry. You can also find the Crab Diving Podcast as a podcast on their websites or on your favorite podcasting app. As you can my show as well. All right, let's talk about the news. Because there is a ton. Congress is out this week. Which is fantastic, because things are only going to get worse. Last week, they confirmed over their 15th confirmation of a circuit court judge in the 15 months of this disastrous administration. And GOP leaders moved Wednesday to shorten time requirements for confirmations even further, arguing that Democrats are using existing rules to unnecessarily obstruct the process. Do you guys hear yourselves? They're using existing rules. They're not breaking the rules like you did, Mitch McConnell, when you stole an entire Supreme Court judge from the only black president we've ever had. It is true that the Trump administration had a difficult time getting some nominees through the confirmation process, but they have not had trouble, by and large, with their judicial nominees, qualified or not. Although political appointees can last only as long as a given administration,
or considerably less time in the case of Donald's cabinet,
judges are appointed for life, which, by the way, that needs to change. Many of the 15 confirmed have decades, likely, on the bench ahead of them. They're because they're young, and they're assholes, and assholes live a long time. Senate leader Turtle McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, told attendees at a political breakfast late last year that with control of Congress and the White House, Republicans have, quote, unique opportunity to move America right of center and have a huge impact on the court system in this country for a generation, unquote. The Senate, if all goes well, will be changing hands in November, which will interrupt their terrorist-like efforts. So the GOP leaders are contemplating changing Senate rules as to speed up confirmations before the midterms. Currently, once the Senate has invoked cloture, there still has to be 30 hours of debate on any given nominee. And on Wednesday, the Rules Committee approved, along party lines, of course, a change that would reduce debate from 30 hours to 8 to non-cabinet level nominees, and 2 for federal district court judges. This is all from the New York Times. A similar proposal did gain bipartisan support in 2013, but that was before Democrats who controlled the Senate decided to blow up part of the government and go nuclear, allowing the Senate to invoke cloture with only a simple majority rather than a two-thirds vote. McConnell used parliamentary tactics to expand the nuclear option further to include Supreme Court justices in 2017. And he'll likely do it again with this new rule. Pretty soon we're gonna have no bipartisanship, no checks and balances in the Senate. It's gonna be just as bad as the House of Representatives, only it's gonna have more of a disastrous effect. Terrorists, they're all terrorists. So nearly a month after Donald tweeted about their impending arrival, the caravan of Central American immigrants have reached the California-Mexico border seeking asylum. Shortly after the migrants arrived at the Tijuana checkpoint on Sunday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials announced that none would be processed as the agency had reached capacity.
Please. Capacity.
Which is, you know, a load of crap. Following their month-long 2,000-mile trek, dozens of migrants are vowing to remain outside the Immigrant Processing Center until every last one is admitted into the U.S. Many are fleeing gang violence and political persecution in Central America, which entitles them to apply for asylum in the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary, the Nazi-esque Kirstjen Nielsen, is throwing around threats.
If you illegally enter our country, you will be referred for prosecution. If you file a false asylum claim, you will be referred for prosecution. If you aid and abet or coach someone to break our laws, you also will be referred for prosecution.
Too bad for them. Under international treaties the U.S. has signed, the U.S. government is obligated to allow foreigners to apply for asylum. So the first 8 members of the Central American migrant caravan crossed into U.S. territory late Monday evening. But it is not an easy road ahead of them. Not that it was an easy road behind them either. How bad must these people's situations be that they would put themselves through such a hardship? And now they'll likely be separated from each other. Women from men and children from parents for months. Hell, even for a year or more. Who knows?
I really hate this administration.
And in Congress, Representative John Ratcliffe, Republican from Texas, introduced a bill called the Voices Act. Because Republicans want to ensure we remain one of the most incarcerated industrial nations in the damn world. Oh, I'm sorry. The most incarcerated nation. The Voices Act would make prison sentences longer for crimes committed by undocumented immigrants than that for American citizens, which won't deter illegal immigration or criminal activity. It'll only increase federal prison costs, further overcrowd our prisons, and further screw falsely imprisoned immigrants. Because you know, immigrants and brown people are being falsely accused and convicted far more than white Americans are. Because racism.
But it turns out the President of the United States is the one you're not allowed to grab.
In other news, our genius of a president, and I do mean genius. Oh, he's so smart. I mean, so smart. Because President Donald Trump said that he would like to ditch the Electoral College for the presidential election. Because the popular vote is easier to win.
You're a loser.
Please. Oh, please. Yes. Oh, Donald. I do hope you get your way. Our idiot president, who, if you remember, lost the popular vote by nearly 3 million votes. And while I do know that he only likes the polls that make him look pretty, but even by those polls, those Republican-skewed polls, he can't even manage a majority support. But Team Blue? Our side? Oh, we would finally be on a somewhat more level playing field. The whole country would benefit from it. And that damn Electoral College, which we only have originally to placate the slave owners, and we only keep now so that we can placate the wannabe slave owners, the southern states, would be gone at long last.
Bye-bye.
It would be a new day in America. Okay, I want to introduce you to an organization called Beyond I Do. The fight for same-sex marriage rights was hard-fought and a crucial victory, but it wasn't the end of the story. Beyond I Do wants everyone to understand the very real obstacles that LGBTQ Americans face every day. In 31 states, discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity is still legal in areas like housing, employment, and medical treatment. Someone could get married on Sunday, fired on Monday, and evicted on Tuesday. It's not right, and it's not American.
What?
Okay, it's very American, but it's not the ideal that America should strive to be. Beyond I Do is telling real-life stories of this repugnant discrimination to raise awareness that marriage rights were an important milestone, but the journey to true equality isn't over. They have an interactive map on the site where you can explore the map for LGBTQ stories and facts from each of the 31, what they call, discriminatory states. Check them out at beyondido.org.
We should definitely talk about the women in the Trump administration. There's Kellyanne Conway.
So we need to talk about something, and I don't want to. I don't want to because it's just going to piss me off. But I have to bring it up. I have to bring up the Michelle Wolf controversy. The controversy that should never have been a controversy. The right and the entirety, it seems, of the media and some on the left have joined hands and united to attack a comedian for doing something she didn't do. It's similar to the thing they did to Kathy Griffin after she took that picture of her holding Trump's severed head. Everyone was pearl clutching and, oh my lord!
Oh my god.
Please, guys, have you heard our president? So, if you are unaware, the White House Correspondents' Dinner was this past weekend, and Michelle Wolf, the comedian, was there to roast the politicians and the press.
I did have a lot of jokes. I had a lot of jokes about cabinet members, but I had to scrap all of those because everyone has been fired. You guys are going through cabinet members quicker than Starbucks throws out black people.
And as always, everyone got all butthurt because the mean comedian played jokes and hurt people's fee-fees. And while the snowflakes of the press and the conservative throngs were upset in general, that was that there was one joke that dominated the media, the Twitter blogs, you name it, afterwards. It was this cruel joke where Michelle Wolf made fun of Sarah Huckabee's appearance.
Oh my god.
Except the thing is, she didn't. You be the judge.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it. Every time Sarah steps up to the podium, I get excited because I'm not really sure what we're gonna get. You know, a press briefing, a bunch of lies, or divided into softball teams. It's shirts and skins, and this time don't be such a little Jim Acosta. I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts, and then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. It's probably lies. Sure what to call Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You know, is it Sarah Sanders? Is it Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Is it Cousin Huckabee? Is it Auntie Huckabee Sanders? Like, what's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women? Oh, I know, Aunt Coulter.
Now, if saying a woman has perfect smoky eye, which if you don't know means does she does her makeup perfectly.
Oh my god!
If that is an insult, then I don't ever want to be complimented. Now, what Michelle did do was call out Sarah Huckabee for lying to the American people day in and day out. And she did so in a damn near poetic way. Am I crazy? What am I missing here? Sanctimonious Mika Brzezinski, in fact, all of Morning Joe. Who I'm pretty sure were just upset because of the jokes Michelle Wolf said about them.
I watch Morning Joe every morning. We now know that Mika and Joe are engaged. Congratulations, you guys. It's like when a Me Too works out.
Well, Mika Brzezinski tweeted, quote, "Women who use their government positions to spread lies and misinformation deserve to face the same withering criticism as men. But leave our looks out of it. Watching from home, I hurt for Sarah, her husband, and her children." Unquote. Come on! The reporters in the press pool, who Sanders attacks and lies to and lies about daily, comforted Sarah afterwards and wrote in defense of her, only to have her turn right around and yell at them for doing their job and asking questions. But at least Wolf did have a few defenders. Late night comedy host, of course, because, you know, smart, and they understand comedy. And then Amanda Arnold wrote in The Cut, quote, "Wolf's joke last night, though, was not sexist. The lies that Sarah spews on a regular basis have consequences, and the fact that a comedian forced Sanders to face her actions in a room full of powerful people was objectively good," unquote. Neil deGrasse Tyson tweeted, quote, "When did it become okay to be more offended by what someone with no power says than by what someone with power does?" Unquote. And powerfully, Molly Roberts in the Washington Post wrote an opinion piece where she said everything far better than my rants ever could. Quote, "The Correspondents' Dinner supposedly celebrates the rapport that journalists have with the people they cover. This three-course fete of access journalism has always made some skeptics queasy, but after the Trump administration's active attempts to undermine every organization in the room Saturday that doesn't treat the president as an unassailable dear leader, it's hard to pretend that the Fourth Estate and its subjects can carry on a relationship that's adversarial and respectful all at once. That Wolf's performance was not, quote, normal," unquote, for the Correspondents' Dinner is a testament to its timeliness and necessity. Nothing is quote-unquote normal right now. And pretending otherwise, out of a false sense of Fourth Estate's friendship with the executive, would have been the real disgrace. Wolf called the Trump administration out for tearing down democracy. Then the people who are supposed to care most about holding autocrats to account called her out in turn for essentially not being chummy enough. That persistent chumminess is why Wolf's performance in the end wasn't really for the press. It was about us. Quote,
"Our friends at CNN here. Welcome, guys. It's great to have you. You guys love breaking news, and you did it. You broke it. Good work."
To everyone else, she said,
"I think what no one in this room wants to admit is that Trump has helped all of you. He couldn't sell steaks or vodka or water or college or ties or Eric. But he has helped you. He's helped you sell your papers and your books and your TV. You helped create this monster, and now you're profiting off of him. And if you're gonna profit off of Trump, you should at least give him some money because he doesn't have any."
Instead of listening to that or Wolf's final line,
"Clint still doesn't have clean water,"
we got grumpy on Twitter, which means Wolf did a better job of defending the First Amendment than those who say it's our business. Unquote. Besides, it was funny. I've got a couple short ones for you. A Virginia newspaper has come under fire from its readers after it ran a Ku Klux Klan recruitment flyer in full on its front page. The Westmoreland News ran a story on how KKK recruitment flyers and DVDs had started appearing in the town of Colonial Beach, Virginia. However, the paper decided to include a copy of the recruitment flyer, which included racist and anti-Semitic language, in full on the front page to illustrate the story. It was a free advertisement. Congratulations, KKK. There you go. Sprint and T-Mobile announced a deal to merge, creating a wireless giant with more than 127 million customers. This will result in only three companies who will control almost the entire U.S. wireless industry. Considering quote-unquote regulators agreed to allow Bayer and Monsanto to merge, it is all but certain this merger is a go-to. Can someone tell me, does it count as a free market when there's no competition? They'll approve it. Alright, this next thing is very important, so I hope you're paying attention. The Trump administration says Native Americans might need to get a job if they want to keep their health care. So tribal leaders say these new GOP work requirements will threaten access to care and reverse centuries-old protections. Tribal leaders want exemption from new Medicaid work rules being introduced in several states, and there are precedents for healthcare exemptions. Native Americans don't have to pay penalties for not having health coverage under Obamacare's individual mandate, for example. Now, here is where our ruling fascist administration sinks to a new kind of low. See, according to Politico, the administration believes that exempting Native Americans from Medicaid work rules, which have been approved in 3 states and are being sought out by at least 10 others, would be illegal preferential treatment. HHS believes that an exemption would raise constitutional and civil rights law concerns, according to a review by administration lawyers. And this is the sick part. They say this because the Trump administration contends that tribes are a race rather than separate governments. Native Americans are separate governments. It is in the damn Constitution. As it says in Politico, quote, "The tribes insist that any claim of racial preference is moot because they are constitutionally protected as separate governments dating back to treaties hammered out by President George Washington and reaffirmed in recent decades over the Republican and Democratic presidents alike, including Clinton, George W. Bush, and Obama administrations," unquote. Native Americans deserve their sovereignty and their health care and a great deal of other things because they have paid for it. They have paid with their land and the blood of their ancestors. And this is not the only threat to tribes. Tribal leaders and public health advocates also worry that Medicaid work rules are just the start. Donald is eyeing similar changes across the nation's welfare programs, which many of the nearly 3 million Native Americans rely on. Native American employment was at 12% in 2016. That's nearly 3 times the U.S. average, partly because jobs are scarce on reservations. Low federal spending on Indian Health Service has also left tribes dependent on Medicaid to fill coverage gaps. This could collapse their healthcare system. Some states, like Arizona, are asking HHS for permission to exempt Native Americans from their proposed work requirements. But the federal government can, and likely will, say no. Tribes are ready to go to court if they have to. Here's hoping they don't get one of Trump's judges. In February, the Native Americans submitted a 33-page memo to the Trump administration, sternly warning officials that the health agency was violating its responsibilities. And the Trump administration also targeted the Indian Health Service for significant cuts in last year's budget. Though, luckily, Congress ignored those cuts in its omnibus funding package. The White House budget this year proposed eliminating popular initiatives like the decades-old Community Health Representative Program. Even though tribal health officials say it's essential. And get this, if you're not mad already, which you should be, but if you're not, this might do it for you. While rejecting Native Americans' Medicaid request on grounds that they are seeking illegal preference, this administration is simultaneously announced new protections sought by conservative religious groups. Man, I hate this government. All right, some good news. California lawmakers have advanced a bill to ban conversion therapy for LGBTQ people. The practice of so-called conversion therapy for gay or transgender people is widely rejected by all areas of the medical establishment, and California lawmakers are poised to ban the harmful practice in their state. Assemblymember Evan Lowe, Democrat of San Jose, authored the bill to ensure, quote, accountability for those who claim to provide therapy but are in fact peddling an unfounded and destructive practice, unquote. The law, which would be the first of its kind in the nation, would label conversion therapy as a fraudulent business practice that swindles customers and commits psychological abuse against victims. Executive Director Rick Zabor of Equality California, which co-sponsored the bill alongside the Trevor Project, said, quote, "Once again, California legislators sent a clear bipartisan message to the LGBTQ community across our state and around the world. You belong," unquote. National Memorial for Peace and Justice opens in Alabama. Rather than monuments to Confederate-era perpetrators of white supremacy, a new mausoleum has just opened dedicated and honoring to that ideology's victims. The National Memorial for Peace and Justice in Montgomery, Alabama, pulls no punches when it comes to the hard truths about the nation's racial history. The New York Times notes, quote, "It demands a reckoning with one of the nation's least recognized atrocities, the lynching of thousands of black people in a decades-long campaign of racist terror." Unquote. A walkway is hung with 800 steel columns bearing the names of American counties and lynching victims, as well as descriptions of the victims' supposed quote-unquote crimes. The museum was inspired by the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin, Germany, and the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg, South Africa. Brian Stevenson, the founder of Equal Justice Initiative, which backed the museum, made it clear what he hopes the heart-wrenching exhibit will do. Quote, "I'm not interested in talking about America's history because I want to punish America. I want to liberate America." Figure skating star Adam Rippon says no to the White House and yes to GLAAD and Planned Parenthood. So figure skating star Adam Rippon has made it clear months ago that he's no fan of this administration, particularly the extremely anti-LGBTQ Mike Pence. And Rippon, who's gay, said he wouldn't meet with Pence during the Winter Olympics opening ceremony in South Korea last January. And he later declared that he had no interest in the traditional White House visit for Olympic champions. Rippon made good on that promise in the absolute best way. He tweeted, quote, "Olympians from the 2018 Games have been invited to go to the White House today. I will not be going. I will not stand with people who discriminate against those they perceive as different. In lieu of going to D.C., I have donated to a few of my favorite causes." Unquote. Those causes include the LGBTQ rights organization GLAAD, Planned Parenthood, and the Red Cross. And Rippon urged others to join him. Quote, "I think when we are able to help each other out and do what we can to lift each other up, that's when we are truly making America great." Unquote. All right, my friends, May midterms are coming up. And wherever your midterm is in your area, make sure you are registered to vote. It depends on where you live as to how long you have before the cutoff date before you have to register. So do your research. Luckily, some folks made it easy for us. Go to vote.org. That's as simple as it gets, vote.org. And they list state by state how long you have to register before you can vote. I know in California, we have to register or have to have our registration postmarked by 15 days before the election. I will post the site on my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance, or you can just go to vote.org. They also have a place to register and reminders. Don't sit this out and do your research. Know who you are voting for, because we don't have any room for error right now. We need to unite blue so that we can keep this blue wave going. Okay. Thank you for sticking with me and this episode of K, Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download this show at crabdiving.com under the K Voice tab or on your favorite podcasting app. I'm also at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at KellyTheVoice and on Facebook, where you will find all the stories I've discussed on this show and more at K, Voice of Resistance. All right, take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
K, Voice of Resistance!
I did have a lot of jokes. I had a lot of jokes about cabinet members, but I had to scrap all of those because everyone has been fired. You guys are going through cabinet members quicker than Starbucks throws out black people.
Grab him by the pussy.
Shut up, Donald.